So welcome. I am super pleased tonight that we have a very special guest. We have Dr. Marianne Ayer, who will be talking with us at the first part of our time tonight, and then we will switch over then to doing some coaching, demonstration, and conversation. But first, we are so lucky to have Marianne joining us. Marianne is the teacher of our Mindful Eating, Mindful Life course, and she is, I'm going to let her do a full introduction here, but she's an integrative medicine practitioner. And so she's dealing with the whole of us, our inner selves, as well as our inner spiritual selves, as well as our external and physical selves. And so we are so blessed to have her as a part of the faculty and to be teaching this course, which, by the way, she literally wrote the book on. So we have, I mean, I can't believe our fortune to be able to actually have her with us in the faculty and then also tonight to talk about the course. So I would like to invite you, Dr. Ayer, to talk with us about just kind of give us an introduction about who you are and what you do and kind of the path that you've taken to get here. And then we'll kind of just chat, you and I, about various things related to the course that folks have the opportunity to take.
Great. Thank you, Liv. And how's the volume when I talk?
It's
Everybody can hear
perfect.
me? Okay. All
Yeah.
right. So I'm board certified as an internal medicine physician, and it didn't take me very long when I started practice, which was quite a while ago. It seems like there's a delay between my speaking and what it looks like I'm doing. Is it okay for everybody? Nod or not? Okay.
Yeah,
All right.
it's working.
So
Yeah.
it's just in my computer. I have to not look at myself. Yeah. So it didn't take me very long when I started practice to realize that the things that ailed most people really required a deeper questioning, and that just throwing medications at people for every little thing was not truly the answer. And I do have a master's in psychology, but more importantly, I'm trained in Vipassana meditation, which is really the backbone, the mindfulness meditation of what I presume many of you are doing. And so that's what led to my taking a more integrative approach with my patients. And in 2006, obesity surpassed smoking as the number one preventable cause for illness, or ill cause for preventable illness, I guess is a better way to put it. And I became quite curious about that. And I was on a committee in the hospital at that time looking at obesity. And I was mortified to realize that what the hospital wanted to do was create a bariatric surgical program. And that was pretty much it. And so I was the lone voice on that committee, raising concerns about a variety of things, micronutrient loss, emotional fallout, and a variety of other things. And I'm not making this up. After five meetings, they stopped inviting me. So I, a year later in my clinic, was seeing all of the things that I was concerned about and things I had not anticipated. So, for example, I call it cross addictions, meaning people were showing up with addictions they didn't have previously. But if your stomach is the size of a walnut and you can't do what used to be coping for you, you have to find other ways to deal with the stress and the distress that you're not able to handle. And I became curious at the time about mindfulness in association with eating. And I did a literature review, and there wasn't much, but there were some studies looking at what kinds of things went into people's habits of eating that were maladaptive. And there were three main categories. So I developed a class series on that basis. And it just so happened that there was a PhD student who had approached me asking me to mentor her for a project. And I said, boy, do I have a project for you. And it was a perfect alliance. And it forced me to standardize my classes so that she could do her measurements. And so after about 2 years of teaching these classes, and I was astonished at what came out of the classes. I mean, I was teaching, I started this to help people who were having trouble with their eating habits. What I didn't realize and didn't expect was how many deep-seated issues came up for people within the context of looking at their relationship with food. And so the class kind of morphed over time to address in a much bigger way, what is our relationship with food and how do we play out our nested inner tensions in that relationship? It became much richer and much deeper than I expected. And after about 2 years of teaching the class, people were asking me for a book. And at the time, there were none that I could find. So I wrote the book, pretty much following the outline of the classes that I had been teaching. And about the time it came out, two other books by a similar title came out. So it was an idea whose time had come. But that's the basic background of the class, why I started teaching it. And again, the reason it's relevant within the context of coaching as a whole is related to what I said, which is that so many issues are nested in our relationship with food. And to just delve into, if someone perceives that they overeat or that they eat for emotional reasons, which is the number one cause that people have for eating beyond the nutrients that we need, then going more deeply into their habits always opens up other forms of inner tension and unresolved issues and sort of an inability to be present with the inner tensions of the body, such that food is a solace. It's an addiction of a sort. And so when Anne-Marie asked me to pick up this class, I am theoretically semi-retired.
I had
a little bit of time. But the reason that she has it as a part of the coaching school is precisely this, that to open up these deeper issues opens the door to a questioning, to where are we stuck? Where are we stuck? The food is just kind of a tool, if you will. Just like it's a tool for us to cope, our relationship with food can become a tool for us to open up those stuck places. So that's it in a nutshell.
Great. Thank you for that introduction. It's so exciting and so incredible that you were like at that perfect point at the crest of the wave in order to kind of bring that book in and bring your expertise in. And I kind of wonder, I can't help but wonder what would happen if you were in that room now with those other, your colleagues that then, if now they might actually be really keen to hear what you have to say. I'm not sure, but it kind of seems like, gosh, you were ahead of your time in so many ways. So when students come to your class, will they be learning things like kind of actually how to work with someone through like clearing out those kind of habitual stuck points? Or like, what's the degree or the level of depth that someone should expect to go through in terms of partnering with a client?
Yes. Well, that is the primary focus, actually, of the class, because diets work until you go off of them, and then they don't work. And much of the time, that's exactly what happens. And why? It's because diets, by definition, tend to be deprivation-based. And so the whole point of teaching these classes were to invite people to find out. One of my key phrases is, what is it you're really feeding? What is it that's hungry? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I remember distinctly the very first time I taught this class, I had a huge whiteboard up and I asked people, for what reasons do you eat? And I had a list of at least 24 things and not one of them was hunger.
Really? Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Now, in all fairness, I mean, because of the context of the class, it was slanted. And so maybe it's cheating to me. But still, people eat for a lot of reasons. And, you know, you think about the sensations in the body for a lot of different emotional states, and many of them can mimic hunger, actually,
mm-hmm.
you know, a sensation in the belly. And what was the first solace and nurturance we got? Well, oftentimes it was food. I mean, it's so complicated, the things that come out of this. And
indeed.
So working with clients, so each of you work with clients, and using this modus operandi, if you will, if you even detect some kind of off-kilterness that someone has in their relationship with food, it's a rich way to get into other issues. I'll share an example. There were two sisters who came to the class, and it was great because they kept each other honest in a really hilarious sort of a way sometimes. But out of that came memories that they helped each other have about their relationship with their mother and the family dynamics. And I mean, the two of them sort of epitomized how this can work. So by the end of the class, a year later, and part of the reason I remember this is a year later, I got an email from one of them who said, "Dr. Iyer, not only did I change my eating habits and lost a lot of weight, but I now own the llama farm I have always wanted to have. I changed my life entirely, and I love my life." I mean, it's the kinds of things when we get curious about what is it I'm feeding that doesn't really need food, that question just opens up so much.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, right?
And it does. It does. Exactly. Uh-huh. Well, and I'm thinking too about kind of like how we as a society are ingesting so many other things as well. So the impact on our bodies and our systems and our even our minds and our ability to recognize our creativeness and our actual ability to change our lives, that we've kind of got this
way
of sort of non-mindfully kind of ingesting a bunch of other things.
Yes, Liv. Yes. Well, think about it. I mean, the capacity to sit with the sensation of being empty for a brief time. We have to do that to allow something new to come in. And that's intolerable. If what comes, what rushes in is the unfinished business and the inner tensions and the anxiety and the, to be still with that, to use mindfulness in those spaces.
Yes.
I mean, one of the things I talk about is building in the pause. You know, it's like between the habitual reaching for and putting in your mouth, just stop. Just stop for a minute. Take two or three conscious breaths. Be present in a kind and gentle way inside and see what arises. Very powerful.
So powerful. So powerful. All right. So I have to ask this question just because I feel like it's something that would come up for a lot of folks. And that is this class about weight loss? Like, can I join this class and learn how to lose weight?
Well, you might, but that isn't the primary purpose of it. I mean, as I mentioned, what motivated my starting the class was the obesity epidemic. And so in all fairness, that was part of it. But what I discovered as I went along is that the deprivation focus was exactly part of the problem. So the focus really is on what is it you need?
Mm-hmm.
And if in answering that question, you lose weight, it's secondary. Mm-hmm. So this is not about weight loss. The other thing I'm often asked is for some variation of a diet. And you know, if I give advice at all, it is, for crying out loud, don't eat something that isn't food to start with, please. if it's a list of chemicals, sugar and fat, that's not food. So just cut that out for starters. And that's my version of a diet. And then from there, I mean, it gets much more creative in terms of what's going to work for you. But I don't talk about diets and I don't talk about weight loss because, you know, our bodies, now this is a fact. People say, you know, it feels like I get off a diet and I eat less and I gain weight. Well, probably you do, because we are geared to survive. I mean, think about the people in the concentration camps who lived on a few crumbs a day, and they lived. And how did they do that? Our metabolism, we are designed to survive. So our metabolism is capable of doing more with less. So you give it less, everything inside of you says, okay, starvation, starvation. Mm-hmm. And it learns to do more with less. Mm-hmm. It comes off the diet mm-hmm. and gain more weight than ever. Well, so not doing diet, not thinking in terms of weight loss, because the psyche just heard that. I mean, what do we do with the concept of loss? So you start grieving. Oh God, I need some chocolate.
Give me more.
Right. So what we really focus on is what is nourishing to you in mm-hmm. more than one dimension.
Yes.
Let it expand. Let this open up. Let it fill you. So you really, another example, a client and a patient of mine who came to class once, just exuberant. It's like, wow, what happened? She said, I didn't believe you, but I had just one cookie instead of the usual three, and I ate it slowly. Dr. Ryer, I had no idea how fulfilled I would be with one cookie. I never believed that would be enough, but I enjoyed it way more. I enjoyed it way more than when I, you know, quickly stuff it in my mouth because somebody might catch me.
Right.
You know, somebody's going to come in and catch me. So, yeah. So it's really about shifting the narrative inside of ourselves, finding our relationship with food, finding the dynamics that are entrapped in that, taking those threads out, dealing with what needs to be dealt with. And yes. then like magic, your weight may change to be more appropriate.
Yes.
I like that mm-hmm. phrase. And it's not about, you know, you know, it's not about just being Pollyannish and not using certain words. It's like words matter, and pay attention to how certain words impact you.
Yes.
And the idea of weight loss and diet. I mean, most people immediately get tense inside. And discipline is great. Mm-hmm. You can motor through. And then at some point when your back is turned, a particularly stressful thing happens and, oh my gosh, you just undo the whole thing by gouging.
Yeah. Yeah. And I really love what you're saying in terms of just the if you expand these concepts into what is possible just from coaching in general, in terms yes. of shifting one's sort of idea of what's actually nourishing and what is joy, you know, what does bring joy and pleasure and enjoyment, like the idea that we kind of like that learn to do with less is kind of like, boy, how many of our clients actually learn to get by in a situation that's not serving them.
Right.
And then if they reorient and shift some of those inner habits, even around food, like, oh my gosh, it could change everything.
Right.
It could change to just like your llama farm person. It's amazing. When you think about the connections and how just that, like when you think about kind of this micro and then look at the macro, I just think it's just incredibly powerful.
Right.
So I do want to open up to anyone who has got questions for Dr. Ayer about the class, or just tell her how great she is.
Oh God, don't do that. You don't know me at all.
Tell her how grateful we are to have her. But if there's questions, I would love for anyone to be able to ask so that I'm just not the only person asking questions.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, maybe just tell me your name, say your name and where you're from.
Okay, my name is Robin. I am from San Diego, California. And I work with a national organization on eating disorders, with eating disorders, and work as a peer mentor for individuals that have eating disorders or have gone through treatment. And mindful eating, not as a diet per se, but as a reintroduction to food and to what food tastes like and how to eat, and the behaviors behind it are very, very important in the treatment of eating disorders. So I wanted to know if you could speak a little bit to that, because that's a very different approach to mindful eating.
Right. Well, and I love that you're present and you're saying something, because this is a great example of how our relationship with food can go in any which direction. And so it isn't just about being overweight. It's about any of the maladaptive kinds of things that we do with food that is other than the simplicity of providing nourishment for our body. So again, this is very complex. So in the class itself, we look at the emotional reasons for eating when it isn't food that you need. But the mindfulness portion of this has a lot to do with learning how to be present with the sensations in the body, to build more tolerance, if you will, for being present with yourself when something is uncomfortable. And so, you know, eating disorder is a huge category. So I'm casting in my mind how to be specific. There's everything from anorexia to bulimia to overeating. And so it covers a lot of territory, but by definition, if it's an eating disorder, then food is being used or not used in the way that is needed for the body's nourishment. It's quite simple. I mean, one of the common things is it's a way of being in control of something. And so that's where I would start exploring the sensation of feeling out of control is huge for all of us, really. And we play it out in different ways. But the first thing is to learn the basics of mindfulness, learning the basics of being present with the breath, of allowing sensations to come and pass, learning safety in that container, and then starting to explore the sensations that might be uncomfortable. So when there's a known eating disorder, I think really learning the basic tenets of the mindfulness practice first, before even starting the exploration of the discomfort, is important, so that there's an enormous need for a safe container to allow those sensations to come up. Does that make sense? I can't see you, Robin, so I don't know where you are here.
No, I did not get on to the Zoom portion of it so I could see you, which is problematic for me because I like to see people. Yes, it makes a lot of sense. And it is something very, very important. And I think what I appreciate is that you also, thank you very much, are in the medical field. And so often we see the knowledge base, it's growing, but the questions that many physicians may ask to find out where and what might be going on with an individual patient or client. And that's where I think questioning is so very important in a safe space, but also that working together as a team approach to dealing with this, and mindfulness is so much a part of it. So thank you very much.
Yes,
you're welcome. Full of gratitude for you for what you're saying. Thank you.
The mindfulness connection is really kind of really why we have this course as part of the curriculum at the Mindfulness Coaching School. So that you know, all of you who are current students certainly know that you're learning the basic tenets of mindfulness. You're learning different approaches to mindfulness. Not necessarily it's full blown sitting for 6 hours on a cushion, but that it's for people who are in the world who may not be monks and who may not be able to kind of extract themselves from the world. And so there's this ability to kind of like learn those mindfulness approaches and apply them in your everyday. And certainly that applies to eating. And so that this fitting into that and being able to kind of take your clients through that full journey is really important. So I want to be really respectful of Dr. Ayer's time. We have her for just a few more minutes. So I do want to see if anyone has any other questions.
There were some in the chat, I noticed.
Oh, yeah, there's something about your book, and I'm going to actually just go ahead and post a link here to that.
While you're doing that, I have a question, if that's okay. Marianne, can you hear me?
I can.
It's Anne.
Hi.
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 Hi, honey. I begged this woman to teach at this school.
This is my arm twisted.
First time she said yes, and then it didn't work. And now, 5 years later, here you are.
Yeah, I got really busy in my practice.
Yeah. You know, what I'm thinking a lot about these days is not only my own 15-pound weight gain over the last year and a half through the pandemic, but also, you know, how can we work with our bodies? And not just with eating, but just in general, just, you know, we have these precious human bodies. How do we get through the pandemic? Because this could be, I hate to use the word new normal, but it could be our new normal. So how would you, do you have any sort of a protocol or advice or something on how to work with our bodies? Because there's so many different levels right now.
Yeah,
it's happening on the planet for all of us.
Yeah, that's great, Anne-Marie. I mean, when we get, because that's the generic big question that's underpinning our relationship with food too. And I think for us to get very honest about the levels of anxiety, the sensations in the body, it's really going back to the basics. One of the things that took me a while to learn when I learned Vipassana meditation, which was decades ago, was the need for that second wing of deep kindness. I mean, compassion is a big word, but there's a visceral sense of when we catch ourselves engaged in a behavior that we know is hurtful, or we find ourselves acting out in whatever way, food or other things, that we just stop, turn around and say, sweetheart, I'm here. I mean, it's a tangible, visceral kindness that we have to bring to that place. Mm-hmm. And the soothing and the courage that we feel and we find when we embrace ourselves with that attitude allows new dimensions and new depths, new possibilities and new strength to come to the surface. Because I know when I started Vipassana, I kind of went at it with a pickaxe. You know, I was so disciplined. Oh my God. I mean, you can sit on that cushion for a long, long, you said 6 hours, heck, I'm talking 12 hours a day, you know, 12 days in a row. It's like, you can do that with discipline and you can lose weight with discipline. And most of us learn discipline as the method to accomplish that which we were setting ourselves to do. And I'm not disregarding the importance of discipline, but to include a healthy dose of gentleness, of kindness, of patience, of room for us to tell ourselves the truth that we're hurting, we're afraid, we're anxious, we're just not sure we can do it, we're not sure we matter. I mean, you pick it, you choose the thing, it's there. We all have variations of all of these things. And we have to feel safe. We have to find a way to make it safe to tell ourselves the truth. I mean, everyone here is educated. We're all counselors. We know the shtick. And it's hard. You know, we know what somebody's up to when they're trying to counsel us. And it's like we get slippery. We get slippery. It's like, gosh darn it, you're not going to.
Yeah, darn it, you figured out my approach.
And I'm not, you can't do that. That's my job, you know, blah, blah, blah. So we have to feel safe enough inside to get vulnerable.
Oh, we've just lost your audio.
We just lost you.
Oh, there you are. Oops, my default microphone has changed to microphone. Can people still hear me?
We lost you for just a split second, but or maybe five, but you're back now.
Hang on. Hey, Ashok. Ashok? Help?
Tech support.
Actually, you're okay
it's all right good now. It's all good. Yeah.
And it went away. Never mind. Yes. It's okay.
Thank you.
You're about to meet my husband. Okay.
Was that? I think the last thing we heard was we have to find a way to be safe enough to get vulnerable. And then I think you cut out right there.
That's a good place to end, don't you think?
Yes,
sure.
I do. Yes.
I have no idea what I
said. So for everyone's information, this is all on the website, but Dr. Ayer's class, Mindful Eating, Mindful Life, starts on October 5th. So you do have some time to get into that. What you don't have time to get into, is, well, you have a few hours, are the Art of Engaged Mindfulness and Stretch, which start tomorrow. So if you are yet, if you've yet to take those courses and you want to, timing is everything, and you could sign up to start tomorrow. But for Dr. Ayer's Mindful Eating, Mindful Life course, that will start on October 5th. So we've gotten a wonderful preview of what that course will be
Thank you very much, Liv. And
yes, you're so welcome.
Someone is asking the name of my book. It's Mindful Eating, Mindful Life, but I should say that my author name is Marianne Wallace, MD. I took my husband's name after a while. So if you can't find it under Ayer, it's because it's under Wallace.
Yeah, and I did posted a link to your book on your website. So.
Oh, yeah. Thank you.
Go straight to your source.
So am I signing off?
That's where all the goodness is. You may sign off. We've kept you for
Thank you all. Good to meet all of you.
Thank you.
From Alaska to all over
North Carolina.
That's me. Okay. Bye.